any place and every place you get them. And particularly with the airlines, because did I tell you about the Wings Over the Nation?
Yes, uh-huh.
And because that was the kind of public relations that we needed to give some goal to our real plan of development of the Long Beach Municipal Airport, Bardi Field.
In our interview, you referred to Bill Fox speaking with Fred Bixby and convincing him to having the Naval Air Station moved over to Bixby Ranch property at Los Alamitos.
That was the move from the Long Beach Airport to the new one at Los Alamitos. That was built by the Naval Reserve. There are two of them in the country, one in Chicago and that one.
Do you know if Fred Bixby was hard to sell on that idea, or do you know anything
about
the details?
I really don't know, but then I can't imagine that Fred would be particularly hard to sell. After all, it was, you must remember, in those days there wasn't any Los Alamitos. Well, it was a canned dog factory, canned dog food factory that Frank Vessels had out there. And right across the street where they put the current Los Alamitos Naval Air Station, which was a reserve. So they moved out of Long Beach Airport and moved to there so that they could have their own security and their own private airfield.
So that was during the war then?
No, this was... Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right, it was during the war. After that, they did that thing.
Well, you have told me a lot about the airport and about Douglas coming. I was just curious if you could do some of your other activities in the junior chambers. I don't want to put you on something you don't want to talk about, but the scrapbook had so many clippings and items about the All-State Society, about the parades that you were in charge of.
Well, you must remember that we had a, what they call, before I joined the Junior Chamber of Commerce, they had a Sun, Surf, and Sand Days, which was an annual promotional event for the merchants downtown, particularly. And they put on a parade. And one year, I used to ride horses in parades and what have you, and I knew a few people in them. They decided to make me the chairman of the parade committee. So I was the chairman of the parade committee, and I organized a parade, which had never been done before here. However, it was nothing remarkable about it. It was just the way that big parades are ordinarily set up and what have you. And we went out and we got a lot of bands and we got a lot of horses and we got a lot of this, that, and the other things, and created this thing. And we properly organized it and timed it. The formation grounds were down on 7th, down where a Taylor place later was built, down on 7th Street. And we took off from there and went down to 7th to American, south on 7th to the Ocean Avenue and back up Pine Avenue. And by the time the head of the parade got to 7th and Pine, while the tail end of it, by timing, had just disappeared down, and they went back to their disbanding grounds and terminated. And we set up throughout the parade route a bunch of, through, thanks to Atlee Arnold, who was one of the city attorneys at the time and a member of the Junior Chamber of Commerce, a voice description of the various elements of the parade at each one of the scripts were different because they were all timed in order to run as the parade started to come up, and all the announcer did was simply read from this thing. And the minute he saw the first one and he started talking about it, well, his thing were the whole parade from that time on. So, in other words, it made a place that people could see the parade and enjoy the parade, and they didn't have to sit on the reviewing stand and what have you, where the big shots were all doing, and everyone enjoyed it. And the paper was, and I will forget, was quite astounded at the whole thing. They had never seen anything that had created so much interest in the city of Long Beach as that one. We made the front page, the headlines and everything about that parade. And from that time on, we had a large thing to do with the parades that they had in Long Beach. Jack Horner, for instance, who, about a year or two after this, at that time he was the Retail Merchants Association director, created the band review. Mm-hmm. Jack didn't like horses on the streets because of the mess they made and what have you. And I never could convince him that if the people that were riding in the parade would walk their horses properly before they got there, well, those things would be kept to a minimum, but of course you can't do away with them entirely. And so anyway, he put on this band review, and evidently the organization of it didn't quite gel, so he got Barry, and Barry prevailed upon our committee, our little parade committee, to put on the band review. We organized it and set it up and what have you, and it really went very smoothly after that for some years, I guess. Was the last time I heard, anyway.
Well,
so those parade things were, that's what you were talking about. It was a retail merchant promotional activity carried on by the Junior Chamber of Commerce. And
Well, the article that you have in the scrapbook refers to the one in November of 1939, and that's when you were the chairman of that parade. A musical salute to Santa Claus. You certainly had, you said you had 66 bands and prizes, and the grand prize went to the USC marching band, and they got the trophy the next day at the football game. And
that
wonderful.
Was that the first one or the second one?
I don't remember.
Ah, that
was. Jerry is present. She was my last year in there.
You see, I didn't keep any records.
Well, they're in there.
I know. I remember the parade that you're talking about, but I think we'd had two or three before that one.
Well, it said it was the third annual in 1939.
Okay, then the three. That's right.
But interesting, I was interested because last November they finally did cancel the Western Band Review, the All Western Band Review.
Oh, now I know what you're talking about. I got mixed up. I talked about Sun Surf and Sand Days, which was a general parade.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the third annual band review.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is true. And that was the year that Jack prevailed upon Barry to throw the Junior Chamber of Commerce Committee into the act to put on the parade. All we did was organize the parade and put it on the streets and get it off the streets.
Uh-huh.
Jack Horner, do you know his name?
Yes.
He's a very, he's dead now, just died recently. He's a very astute public relations man, and his trouble started in trying to get this parade started. And he got a stepladder, and he got up on the top of this stepladder, and he had various bands down the street from this intersection, and he called for a bullhorn to the one he wanted to come out, and then of course it got mixed up and it wasn't organized very well. But well, he did. One of the people that had handled parades and the organization and start of parades is one of the men he wasn't there today. Crager, Roy Crager. Crager Ironworks. He was a real first class parade organizer. And we put on other parades that helped, like Pioneer Days up and Artesia and places like that, just to create goodwill towards Long Beach and things like that, although we very seldom got any credit for them, wanted any.
We used to have a lot of
manpower. Oh, yeah. And the Young Men at Work was our thing. We didn't have any money, but everybody got into the act and everybody did something. Particularly when their navel told us to.
Okay, one other band item was that the boys' band was organized in 1939, and you were the chairman of the boys' band. Can you tell me something about that?
Very little. The bandmaster was quite a famous musician here in town, and music, frankly, is not my meteor. The only interest that I had in it was something that needed to be done, and I had a certain amount of experience with street bands and things of that nature, and I did encourage them and use the boys' band in the various and sundry parades that we put on at the time, and helped where we could with the organization of this band, because we felt that it was a healthy and worthwhile contribution to the youth, and even younger than we were at the time.
Well, it said that there had already been a sheriff for Boyz Band, and that was sort of maybe an incentive for you, and you are quoted in the paper as saying that there was a need for this type of organization. And I was just a little curious as to why you thought there was a need.
Well, you're talking about Gene Biscoe's area. He was the one that had the sheriff's boys' bands things going, and this was actually, I think, after he left the activity, and I was only interested in it from the standpoint of Long Beach, and I indulged in other parades and that sort of thing, but only as a participant or helpative. Sheriff Shea of Orange County, I think in connection with that, I helped get them over into an Orange County parade in Anaheim one time, if I remember correctly. These things are so vague.
Long time ago.
Yeah, they are.
Well, what about the state societies?
We had...
All the men.
You know, Frank Marion was a friend of ours, all of ours, and like all people in Long Beach, they were intensely interested in those state societies. But it gradually deteriorated to the point where there were two main state societies in Iowa and Texas. And the others, the New England State Society and so on and so forth, all met, but they weren't too well attended and what have you. So they came to... Some of the leaders of that group, one of them was assistant cashier of the Flowers and Merchant Bank down on the corner of 3rd and Pine. they wanted to get up some things. So they came to Derry, or to John Top, one of the two, I've forgotten now who was president that year. Do you know? Probably the year Jared Derry was president. Towards the end.
Yeah, this would be in 1939.
Anyway, these people came, these presidents came to us, and we agreed to help them. So we decided that we'd have a big picnic, all state society. And we put it on and promoted it and what have you in Recreation Park. Of course, all of the state society picnics were in Bixby Park, as you know. And that was the first one of those, as far as I know. It's certainly the first one that I had ever heard of or had anything to do with. And from that as a springboard, we then went out and met with each and every one of the various states that had these few people that were still interested enough in their society to want to build it up and what have you, and we helped them. This committee helped them to build it up and to build up all of the state societies here in Bixby Park, particularly. Judge Parker Wood was a Los Angeles judge that was very interested in the things, and he used to give us a big hand with it. But it was a junior chamber undertaking to give the various people that were interested in state societies a new lease on life and to build them up. And I think that it was successful.
Mm-hmm. So once in the 1938 anniversary celebration of the city, the 50th anniversary, I remember Derry, as I mentioned, Derry was saying that they tried to get a queen from each of these states, and they had to go around and for the festivities, for the celebration down by the old
Oak Plain
and
Rainbow Tree. Yeah, that's right. That's Johnny Pop was the chairman, and they had each state that was I don't recall 50. There would only be 48, and because there were only 48 states in the thing at the time, and I don't think we ever got 48, but we did get a goodly number of them, and we had all of them. And that was held down in the auditorium and chaired by John Pop, and all of us worked on it and, you know, did whatever we could to have. Ray Chapin, the publicity man for the city of Long Beach, was instrumental in it. Owen Olmsted, the public relations man for the city of Long Beach, was instrumental in it. And it marked the first of the beauty contests that I know of in Long Beach.
So the precursor to the Miss Universe and all of those?
That's right.
That's all of that. Uh-huh.
Not Miss America,
no.
Miss Universe.
Yeah. Well, one other thing you referred to in the first tape, you referred to the Junior Chamber stadium you were talking about out by Douglas. And can you tell me what the Junior Chamber did to get a stadium built out there?
Gosh, Bill Brooks is dead. He was the chairman of the thing, and I worked on it with him, but I can't remember that. My interest was to getting it built in such a way that it wouldn't interfere with the location of that northerly east-west runway, and I did whatever I could to help them build it. And anyway, it was principally Bill Brooks, he was the chairman of it, and I just don't know enough about it to.
Okay.
It was a marvelous job, and it was something that we certainly needed. We didn't have any place for nighttime athletics and what have you under decent surroundings, and it was a very remarkable thing that those days, and it didn't interfere with the approach line of Northeast West Runway.
One of the things we were talking about, we talked about the Pacific Coast Club, mm-hmm. and how it used to be the Petroleum Commercial Club, and you said that your cousin won the contest for naming it.
Name it. Yeah. Yeah, Hazel Dumas, that was Vern Dumas' daughter. And I think the prize, the grand prize was $100, which was a tremendous sum in those days. At that time, the Petroleum Commercial Club was on the top floor of the Pines Building. And they had promoted enough money to get an iron hog to design the coast club down on the corner, which they bought, of course, the lot, what have you. And Hazel's suggestion was that they follow the initials PCC and call it the Pacific Coast Club instead of the Petroleum Commercial Club. And she won the prize. My uncle, incidentally, Vern Dumas, was a charter member of the Petroleum Commercial Club and the PC, the Pacific Coast Club.
I thought that at one time the Petroleum Club was in the Pacific Southwest Building. Do you know if it was
there? That is. The Pacific Southwest Building on the northwest corner of American Avenue and Broadway.
Okay.
That was the original name of it.
Okay. And then it became the Times Building and the
It is.
The
man TM Deal that I mentioned earlier, that was a big stockholder in Signal Hill Oil Company, was owned that building one time. He bought it for some reason or other. He was a Middle Westerner from Wichita, Kansas, and his daughter and son-in-law, I can't think of his name now. Is there anything else about that particular thing you want to know? Anyway, the contest was on, and they had a membership drive, and they got a lot of interest up, and they built the building, the City Coast Club, and that was our first athletic club in the town, and I lived there, and a lot of other people from time to time, and I thought one of the best things that ever happened to Long Beach, and I was brokenhearted when I heard that it had closed down.
Yes, it's too bad.
That's where my records went, incidentally. What? The deal? My father had a corner room on the sixth floor, and all the banks were closed then. And in our little group out on the hill, my father was the banker. He had some cash money or some way of getting it, and he'd cash checks and everything for us. And the night of the earthquake, while he was getting ready for dinner and taking a bath, and he'd put his money and everything else on the bed and his clothing, and of course the windows were open, and this doggone earthquake came, and the wind and everything else that accompanied it blew all this money around this room, and Dad got dressed as quickly as possible and got the heck out of there and forgot about the money. So the next morning I had to go down and go up through that, remember that big hole in the stairwell, and go up to the sixth floor and start gathering up what was left of the money that was in there. And while I was just about through, I'd gotten almost all of it, I think, while one of those little creamers came along, you know, the aftershock, and I'd be departed in haste. But I guess that the mission was accomplished, because my father was quite pleased with to get the money back and then have him. A lot of our friends were, well, no open banks, well, you know.
Where were you living at that time?
I was on Signal Hill half drunk. It's 5:55 up from Jelly Pool's fractionating plant on Cherry Avenue, just south of Spring Street. Those are the days.
Was there any significant damage up on Signal Hill to the well?
Not that I know of. People that geologists and one thing and another told me that the quake must have been much deeper than any of the wells. The wells of Signal Hill are around 9,000 feet at the deepest. So evidently there was no fractional occurrence of such as brought on by fault lines and what have you at a lesser level than that. I know a few wells, the ones that particularly that the Apex and Calamax and these other companies were in, were the none of them were damaged. That was, I think we had a rod or two parted and things like that, but that was it. Ordinary occurrence, and we just put on grapple, bring it up, put the sucker rod together again, start the pump up, and we were back in business. I don't know, Benny, did you ever hear that?
No, I really don't.
It was plenty out of downtown. I know that I was supposed to be killed. It was right across from the Pacific Coast Club, there was an apartment house. It fell into the Ocean Avenue, and when it did, it fell across a gray Packard Roadster. It was a coupe, but it looked like a Roadster, and I had a Packard, gray Packard Roadster at the time. And so the word was out that I was parked down there, which I often did, around the club, and I was missing or something or other, I don't know.
No, you weren't having fun up in Signal Hill?
No. Jelly and I departed. When we came out of this, when this thing happened, we came out of the thing and Jelly's operator was disappearing over the hill as fast as he could go, and Jelly yelled at me, "Let's shut this SOB down." And I said, "What am I doing?" He said, "Just look for valves and shut them." And with that, he went off in one direction, and I went off in the other direction. And I shut valves, and I know nothing about a fractioning plant, and to then or today. But anyway, we got it all arranged, something off. I may have said this before, but the work that was done on that airport, you know, the work that was done on that airport was done by a great many young men under the leadership of Darrell Neighbors. We all worked hard. Eddie Simons was that co-chairman when I was trying to think about. He was the board of director member and the co-chairman, coordinating chairman of the Aviation Committee, and Ev Hawkins of the Press Telegram was the chairman of the Aviation Committee. And they were the key men of the whole project and what have you. And they followed all the way through, and they did just what they intended to do when they started out, and that was get something on the shelf to sell to these people and sell them and get some real first-class industry into the city of Long Beach. And personally, I give those young men, headed by Darrell Neighbors, full credit for interesting the Douglas Aircraft Company in the creation of that big plant out there, $96 million, I think it was, in the days when it was built, and God knows what it's worth now. I've been told that the weekly payroll has far exceeded the harbor's. I don't know that. But those young men are the ones that brought about that thing. It was, I was working for the city of Long Beach at the time. It was my job. And I was also a member of that committee. And I was on the initial contract of the Douglas Aircraft Company and followed through with the working contract, which was entered into, of course, by the city councilmen, particularly the aviation committee, Herb Flopstein, and Mark.